Let all be well and auspicious. So today we perform Ragaraja Homa. And the mudra is the fist with the fingers inward and the middle fingers extended up and cross each other. So the meaning of this crossing
it's
So if it's open, then it's of Siddhigaba Bodhisattva, and then if it's touching at the tip, then that's Yamantaka. Because Siddhigaba Bodhisattva is mostly single, that's why they are separated. And Yamantaka, it's like this, with the tip of the middle fingers touching each other. And then for Ragaraja, they're crossing each other. And so this is... So invocation, you do this. The invocation with a certain mudra. And then you form the Ragaraja mudra. And after you place the middle fingers crossing to each other, then you rub them against each other. That's to touch Ragaraja's heart in order for Ragaraja to descend. So today's Ragaraja Homa, Ragaraja did descend twice. So that's rather special. He descended twice. That meant that the Dharma power that's generated was increased, that those who ask for love, relationships are strengthened, and so to let all couples live in love and harmony. So Ragaraja has many different Dharma practices. One of them is bow and arrows, and you've probably seen that we made an offering of bow and arrow during the fire offering earlier. So this bow and arrow not necessarily would hurt people, because at the top, at the tip of the arrow, it's the flower, the Utpala flower. So when you shoot the arrow, this Utpala flower, the red flower, would enter his or her heart so that he or she would feel love toward the subject or the object. And Ragaraja has many forms. One of them is holding a red lotus blossom. And there are the pistils. That's like the pistils inside the blossom. The red lotus blossoms, the pistils of the red lotus blossoms. And it's like little sticks. So like every time you perform the practice, then you use these pistols for your, the object of your desire, the object of your love. Then this is would generate love toward you. So when you perform the Ragaraja Homa or practice, we hope that all sentient beings would receive Ragaraja's blessing so that they have love and care as small as toward an individual or as big as a temple, family, that everyone would have this love and respect. So although Ragaraja has a wrathful or fierce look, actually that power, the fierce power, is the power of love and respect. So we have mentioned about the red deity, because Ragaraja is red, it represents respect and love. But you know that Amitabha too is also red, also a red deity. Ragaraja is a red main deity. Guru Guli Buddha Mother is also a red main deity. So anyone who's all the goddesses who are wearing red clothes, they are all the red main deity. So today, in performing the Ragaraja Homa, it included bardo deliverance, love and respect, also curing illnesses. There's also, he also has Dhamma practice to cure illnesses, also purification, subjugation, enrichments. Because you know that through Ragaraja, if everyone respect and love you, then naturally you would gain benefits. So if everybody respect and love you, then naturally you would be able to gain a lot of wisdom from everyone. So therefore, it would increase your merits or fortune as well as your wisdom. So that's the benefits of performing Ragaraja practice. It's the same as Guru Guli Dharma practices. But Ragaraja shows the fierce look because his power is very strong. And today we will continue to expound on Hevajra, the third chapter on the Hevajra altar. I have said that the altar is the same as mandala. And mandala is like in the tanka, that on the outside, it's square, and inside it's round. Altar is always like that. And the last time, I've said that in Tribhuta school, we have taken a lot of pictures of mandalas, or drops of lights, or light drops, and there are many of them. And in these light drops, there's always main deity, and we call them prajna, or wisdom lights, and they descend from the from the sky, from the space. And in an altar, there are always four walls and four doors, and there are layers and layers of altar, and the main deity at the center, and his family around him. So Hevajra altar has Hevajra as the main deity. And around him, there are the eight great consorts, and we call them the eight great Dakinis. They are Kauri, Kauri, Vetali, Gasmari, Pukasi, Savari, Chandali, and Dombi. So he has eight consorts around Hevajra, and the hands are holding something. Like Kauri consort is holding a moon, and Kauri is holding a sun vessel. Vaitali is holding a pure water, and Gasmari consort is holding medicine, and Pukasi is holding a vajra, Savari is holding ambrosia, and Chandali is holding a drum, and Dombi is with, and Dombi's hands are in a dancing posture. So the eight dakinis around the Hei Vajra. So these eight great consorts are the primary family members of Hei Vajra. And we can visualize them as the eight goddesses. And they are beautiful and with great dignity. There are eight of them around Hei Vajra. So these eight great dakinis are like what we mentioned last night, that in the space there are eight directions. So these eight great dakinis are in the positions of these eight directions around Hei Vajra in a circle. So when we visualize Hei Vajra's palace or altar, first you visualize the main deity at the center of the mandala. Then you visualize the eight family members around him. And it is rectangular, golden, four walls, four doors, and it's decorated with a lot of ornaments. They are very beautiful. And the eight goddesses in a circle surrounding Hei Vajra. And Hei Vajra is at the center of the palace, and he has eight faces, four legs, 16 arms. And it's easy to recognize Hei Vajra. He's holding Kapala. All 16 arms are holding, his 16 hands are holding the skull cup implement or Kapala. So in talking about Hei Vajra altar, saying it orally may not let you understand clearly its meaning. That his palace has great beautiful ornaments and decorations, but at the same time it also meant protection, so that all the unexpected spirits and gods and ghosts cannot enter the palace easily, because the walls represent the very strong protections, and it also symbolizes the bodhicitta, the body heart. So most beings that do not belong cannot enter it easily. So we have recited this mantra from Taoism. The heavens are round and the earth is square. So let the nine places be. And let the five organs, This is talking about a human being, so that it's normal. Let the five organs be normal. And we are willing to enjoy peace and health. So this mantra, round heaven and square earth and all the nine places, including the five organs of our bodies, we are willing to enjoy peace and health. So that's what my guru taught me. You hold your heart with your hand, then you recite the round heaven and the square earth. Let in the nine places and the five organs of my bodies enjoy peace and great health. If you recite this every night before you go to bed, then you would enjoy great health. That's what my teacher taught me in the past. So our bodies is a small universe, and the universe is the great universe. So the small universe of our body actually is an altar. It's an altar. So if you set the ceremonial boundary, you know, to purify yourself and set the boundary, like the skin pores, or the hair on our skin, just like arrows, and then if there is unexpected or negative thing approaching you, then your arrows would be shot against them and would protect you. So the palace has this meaning. So there's this strong walls around it, and they are like arrows on these walls that can shoot outward. So this is only one of them, because the palace has this power to protect. Well, our body too can protect. So when we perform a Dharma practice for love and respect, like when you become Ragaraja, your eyelashes, typically the man has shorter eyelashes, and woman has longer eyelashes because they wear the fake eyelashes or the mascara, so they can turn upward. You don't know the benefits or the use of these eyelashes. You can use these eyelashes, and you visualize the object of your desire prior to a marriage, for example. He or she appears in front of you, and your eyelashes becomes a hook, a kind of hook that extends. And to embrace him, everything, hands and legs and clothes and hair and everything. So you clutch on him or her and then pull him or her toward you. So this Dharma practice for love and respect has this great use of the eyelashes. So you never knew. When you curve your eyelashes and use mascara, you thought it just enlarged your eyes. You did not know the function or the benefits of this. But actually, each of the lash, it's become the vajra hook. Then you hook on him or her all over his body so that he or she cannot leave you. Then your marriage will happen very soon. So, in tantric practices, can utilize a lot of things on your body, you just don't know how to use them. Like when Grandmaster is invoking the deity, uses vajra hook. It's actually home, sit syllable going upside down. Or upside down home. Then you use this hook to hook the clouds of Kuan Yin or Amitabha. Once it's hooked on, then they could not move, then they would descend. That's Vajra hook. When all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the sky, and if they don't descend, then you use the Vajra hook to hook them in so that they fall from their clouds one by one. So there's this benefit and there's this meaning. So the eyelashes of the woman are actually your own Vajra hook. So if you throw this gaze or this look, then the man will be hooked. Of course, Simu also told a joke about marriage. Two people got married, and the man had an affair, an extramarital affair, not long after the wedding. So the wife told the husband, "Didn't you say that I'm your whole world?" The wife told the husband, "You are my world." The husband often said that to the wife, "You are my whole world." Didn't you say that often before? How come now you have another affair? And the husband said, "Because I have found a new discovery, a new continent, like Columbus. So he's found a new world. So marriage is not guaranteed. So you have to practice Agaraja often to let him hook. So you should do the practice of love and respect to hook them on." And next, there's another joke that's been told before. When they are still having relationships between boyfriend and girlfriend, and they had a date at a restaurant, and the boyfriend ate the head and the tail of a fish, and the girlfriend let the meat for the girlfriend, and then after the wedding, the husband eats the meat of the fish, and the head and the tail of the fish is for the wife. So the wife asks, "You know, in the past you just ate the head and the tail of the fish and you let me eat all the meat. So what happened?" And the husband said, "In the past, when we were just having a date, I was just fishing." But after the marriage, now I'm eating the fish. So it's different. So fishing and eating it, it's different. Not different. So most marriages, in general, are good in the beginning, but after a while, it's like chewing on the sugar cane. It became just it became tasteless. It's all the same. To recreate such love and respect as the beginning, it's very difficult. So when I perform wedding blessings, I often stressed responsibility, the responsibility of a family. If you have children, that's responsibility toward your children. And you need to be responsible for your family. And then virtue.
再来呢，就是良心。
And then your conscience.
道德、良心、责任。
So virtue, conscience, and responsibility as the focus to maintain the family for a long time. Otherwise, it's just chewing on the chewing gum. It's sweet at the beginning, but after a while, it's no more sweet. The same with chewing on the sugar cane.
所以甜蜜的时光啊,
so the sweet time is limited. The honeymoon time is limited.
那么我就是强调啊,
so I'm stressing that you need to be responsible toward the children, and then virtue, and then conscience. To maintain the family.
否则你想说,
if you expect the two people to always have such great love and respect forever, that's very, very rare. Really, very rare.
当然也有例外的,
of course, there's special case.
你不要一次把对方的所有的优点全部发现。
Don't find out about all the good parts of your partner. You just find out a little bit every time, every month or every year. And you're still discovering even when you're in the 60s. And or after 60 years, you still continue to discover. Then it's possible for the marriage to be very good. Otherwise, if you have the same interests and the same outlook on life or the same belief and the same commitment to spiritual cultivations and the same hobby, and this way the marriage can last a bit longer. Otherwise, all the words spoken in the past only belong to the past. And things that we say now belong to now. And things to be spoken in the future belong to the future. Those who perform Raga-Raja practice or Guru-Guli practice or any Red Main Deity Amitabha practice, because of the light of love and respect generated from your heart, your Dharma power will increase. So the power for love and respect, or the mind and heart for love and respect, will continue to increase. And just let it grow, then you would be able to have perfect love and respect. As a spiritual cultivator, we always focus on the positive sides of your partner, of all of the sentient beings. Don't look at the negative sides. Then your love and respect will also be complete. Like our temples and the chapters or spiritual centers of Tribhuta School, don't look at the weaknesses or the negative sides of everyone else. If everyone only focuses on the positive sides or on the strengths, because everyone has some strengths and positive sides, then all this love and respect between among all of us will continue to increase. You don't want to continue to talk about the weaknesses and the negative sides of others, including the speakers also has weaknesses because everybody does. So the love and respect of Bodhidharma is from, or is by viewing the strengths and the positive sides of everyone, and don't look at the weaknesses or the negative sides. Otherwise, it would be hard to generate this heart of love and respect. That's all for today. Om Mani Padme Hum.